Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Well, what's up is another episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, my co-host Shane Osborne, the lord of all things mechanical, and Steve, the producer, Johan, who's making up a new game of five-handed patty cake over there.
Five-handed.
Yeah, that's right. Don't even ask. It's syncopated. And I want to say how nice it is for us to be broadcasting in our brand new, fully equipped sauna studio.
Yes.
That
yes.
Even now, we you don't want, you're just... Let me put it this way. You're glad this isn't TV.
no doubt.
Hand me some towels. Back to the blacktop is first. It's where we check out the happenings in the automotive world. Steve has stuff. What do you got?
Well, update on Ford's new building buy-up. In a ceremony that was equal parts pep rally and political rally, the outdoor concert, Ford Motor Company officially told the world it would be putting its new most precious resource, its mobility campus, in the city of Detroit, in a yet-to-be-renovated train station. Now, if you've seen this, this is an old cement building, and you know it's gonna cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
The automaker purchased the Michigan Central Station, which we announced a couple weeks ago,
right,
once the hub of the train travel in and out of Detroit, for an undisclosed sum. Bill Ford Jr., Henry Ford's great-grandson and current company chairman, also declined to say how much the company would spend renovating the structure. And maybe this is why, because Ford also was quick to note that even though the company was in the midst of cost-cutting effort that was initially set at $14 billion, has since gone up to $25 billion. The acquisition of the building and some of the surrounding ones and property parcels fits within the company's belt-tightening measures. So I'm thinking part of their cost-cutting is that they're no longer building sedans.
Yep. Yeah, they something shut down that is two actually, separate production lines because of that.
That's right. Yeah. So that's a huge cost-cutting. Means a lot of people got laid off, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Something that we haven't read about, but I can't tell you how many of those people got laid off.
We can always hope they move to a different position.
We do. We do. Because they're part, you know, hopefully they'll honor those individuals.
Well, maybe someplace besides Detroit. I mean... Exactly. I know that buying the train station was cool, and I'm sure that they're going to do a wonderful job remodeling it, but Detroit has got some serious economic problems now. I mean, maybe they paid him to take the train station.
I'm wondering. Yeah. Now,
we give you this, will you build some cars here again?
Maybe that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Mobility is in the air. While Akio Toyoda spoke of transforming the company that bears his family name from an automaker into a mobility company. Did you just hear that I said that Ford is now calling themselves a mobility company? Toyota's engineers and scientists have steadily expanded their research and development efforts to include mobility solutions and technology during the past several years. The results of the continuous improvement, existing technology, and innovation of new solutions has generated, about 2,015 patents in the United States and trademark office, the most of any automaker, according to records compiled annually. So now, here's the thing. You know who? Here's a trivia question, and I'll answer it. Who was the first company to say that we are a mobility company?
The guys that make wheelchairs?
Yes, well, I was kind of thinking.
Is it
smart chairs?
Honda.
Honda.
So what? Let's just dive into this for a second. Well, what do they mean when they say mobility? Because that covers a lot of ground.
Here's Honda. Honda has cars.
Yeah.
Honda has auto.
Right.
Yes.
Honda has jets.
Well, yeah, they're a fully...
Honda has robots.
They're a fully realized transportation and
so,
you know, company.
Therefore...
Like
gardening equipment.
Yep. Unicycles.
Yeah, you name it.
So anything that is mobile, that moves around, that is whatever.
Right.
Well, and I
generators and lawnmowers and stuff too, you know?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's just the latest catchphrase that everybody's kind of piling onto to say that we're no longer an automaker, we're a mobility company.
Okay.
Moving forward, motion, energy. What do you think there?
That means I'm a mobility mechanic or customizer.
You are.
Well, there you are.
Now, a new tagline.
Yep.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the mobility car show. I don't think so.
It conjures up, you know, wheelchair lifts and stuff to me.
You know, and that, I hate
not,
to say it, but
wrong
that's,
with that,
believe
but
it or
no.
not, that's where e-companies started out at.
Is that right?
Building custom wheelchairs.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. Well, speaking of which, minor side note, there's a couple of guys operating out of a garage in the Midwest, and they're doing a 3D printer, and they're making custom multicolored, like transformer looking like prosthetics for kids who've lost limbs.
Oh,
and they're
wonderful.
Doing it, they're donating them for free.
Oh, wow.
These guys are heroes. I saw it on Facebook. It's like, this is marvelous.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of mobility there. I think that's
send me a link. I got to see that. I want to promote the Dickens
the
out of that.
It's the coolest thing I ever saw.
Well, here's another one. On the autonomous front comes this update from Apple. Apple has hired. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not to be left out, Apple has hired one of Waymo's top engineers, Jamie Waito.
Okay.
To work on its Waymo and Waito. To work on its secretive self-driving car program named Project Titan. Of course, it's not secretive anymore. We all know it.
Yeah, we just said it for nothing.
First here, headlines on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rush. You heard it here first.
That's right.
According to Silicon Valley news site, The Information, tech giant Waito, who has focused on making sure software and hardware work together in the name of safety, now the question is whether or not they will fight back, as in when they sued Uber for taking some of their rights and their information. Now, which is a $1.8 billion lawsuit that settled for $275 million. But the fact is, think about it. This is what tech companies do. They steal at a high rate from one company to the other, and they say, we'll pay you $500,000 more if you
they invest
bring
in
along
technology.
That knowledge base
of
with
course.
You.
Yep. Of course.
And so Shane shows up and says, hey, here I am. Oh, what the heck is this? It's a hard drive. Where did that come from? Oh, my goodness, I just spilt the beans on how that all works.
Well, that's intellectual property. I mean, that is lawsuit material.
And that's why they are going to get lawsuits.
That's why all those contracts that say you can't take anything with you when you go.
Exactly.
So anyway, Apple, not to be outdone by Amazon and all the rest of them, has now piled on. They're doing that big pile on, kind of that picture of where you show the one guy goes for the ball, and the next thing you got 15, 20 different guys on top.
Or is it they all, one jumps off the cliff and they all go after it?
Yes.
Those are lemmings. I think that's a different thing. I think
car companies.
Well, let's put it in perspective. If it wasn't that the fact that there's about $17 billion, I think I was reading, in government subsidies.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an expensive
for
football.
Electrics and now autonomous.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that, these guys wouldn't be doing this.
No, nope,
not at all.
It's all about the bucks.
When you can get subsidized to build a Tesla plant and not turn a profit, guess what?
The taxpayers pay for it.
And that's what is SpaceX. It's all subsidized by the government. So this guy knows how to make pretty things and get government subsidies. So, that we should be so lucky.
That's a mission right there.
No doubt.
So Genesis Hyundai, the luxury line, is doing quite well amongst buyers. Now, we talked about that, Hyundai's luxury line.
Yeah, the
Genesis
is a nice car. Very nice car.
And it is now considered achieving some of the highest scores ever in the enthusiast satisfaction study.
Right.
And edging out like Lexus and others. And so I think it's kind of very interesting because all these companies are going to crossovers. I mean, that is the big business right
sure,
now.
Yeah.
But according to George Patterson, president of Auto Pacific, he says that the sedan, the Genesis G, not C, G90 sedan, won the VSA for luxury car for second year in a row. So I think that's great. I think there's a need for luxury sedans. Brady, you've got a beautiful Cadillac.
Well, 10 years ago, if you had said, Hyundai Genesis, is going to win the top. It wasn't really in the ballpark.
No.
But they have come a long way really fast. They're doing a good quality product. And the handling of that Genesis is first cabin. I mean, it's really a nice car.
A guy I work out at the gym got a chance. He went down to Phoenix, and they had this whole thing. It was comparison against that, Mercedes, and another one. And hands down, he said this thing blew him away.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he was really very, very
Motor
happy.
Motor Trend likes him. Huh? Car and Driver likes him.
All right. So, we're going to go test drive one.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. We'll have to. Well, I might be down there. I'll talk to the dealer here this week. So I think it's very interesting. And then the other thing is, we'll talk about that on the other side.
We will talk about that and more. Glad to have you with us. And by the way, we got a great trivia question coming up and a recap of a brand new road trip event just ahead on, yes, it is, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade, trunning 4-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces, 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwich is a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
We're back with the second segment of Horsepower Chrome and Rust. As usual, it's Brady, Steve, and Shane with you. Tonight, for the windshield view, and today, we are talking about a bit of what happened on Fenders and Front Street.
Oh, yeah.
It's Father's Day weekend.
Yep. Father's Day weekend is always the event of a show called Fenders on Front Street. It's in a little town called Issaquah, which is not too far southeast of Seattle. And it's a big show. It's a custom show. It's a custom with a K show. It's a rat rod show. Everybody's welcome. And it's through the streets of downtown Issaquah. And it's about, I'm going to say 8 or 9 blocks plus the overflow lots on the side from the Triple X root beer shop and some other places. So there was about 425 cars out there.
That's a nice amount.
And our good friend Lance Lambert was the MC of the show, and I spoke with Lance a couple of times while I was out there when I could catch him. He was riding around on the golf cart being chauffeured about as though he was actually important.
And, was he waving like a
He did the parade wave. Yeah, he did the whole nine yards. Wrist, elbow, elbow. And but, yeah, it was really a well-attended show. There were a lot of guys out there that you kind of see. And in any part of the country, there are kind of the usual suspects, the guys that are always going to go to the car shows, the Tri-5 guys and the guys with the GTOs and stuff. You know some of those guys are always going to be there. But there were a lot of cars that I hadn't seen, some I hadn't seen for a long time, and some I just plain hadn't seen. There was a guy out there with a – looked like a Survivor, but it was in really, really good shape, a Gilburn.
Gilburn.
Have you ever heard of a Gilburn?
No.
I have not.
Is a British car, kind of has the look of the old MGB GT, okay?
Okay.
70s, you know, 80s. I don't remember the year. I think this one was a 76. British Racing Green, little two-door. I'm going to say it was a coupe, but it was really kind of a fastback coupe. And it was really, really nicely kept up. I want to say restored, but it was clearly a driver.
Yeah.
But the guy had... had a sign with all the history of the car and, you know, where it came from and what it was and everything. Apparently a British car that was fairly popular across the pond, not so much here. It's the first one I've ever seen.
Yeah, odd cars are becoming a fad lately.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hard to find and rare cars are what mainly we're starting to see as was being fixed
well,
up.
Well, you and I went to the Hot Rod and Hogs show the day before, and that was a sweet show. A lot of beautiful cars.
Yeah, I went to that one last year. I understand this year's was pretty good.
Yeah, they did. And somebody had really done a great job building the Shaggin' Wagon. Did you see that?
I did.
It had I mean, actually, it had the metal plate.
Like the Scooby-Doo ride? Or
no, it's orange.
It's orange.
Oh, okay. The Chevy van kind of thing.
Yeah, the Chevy van.
Got
it.
All right.
And it's got this big, 70s. Huge plush, whatever,
shag
fleece,
carpet,
shag fleece
carpet,
in there and everything. And his daughter was there. And I was like, he was opening up and showing. I go, so what do you think? Well, it's my dad's. I go, yeah, that would be what my son would say, just to stay safe so that...
Yeah, yeah. It's what he likes. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's strange. Yeah.
So there was that, and then there were a number of... I talked with some different people that hopefully we'll have on the show in the future, some really cool modern Mopar club. I didn't even know they existed, and they do anything from 2006 and above. And then, of course, the Mustang guys.
Right.
And... just saw some beautiful cars.
There's a couple really standout motorcycles this year.
Oh, yeah.
New stuff I haven't seen done on bikes before.
Weren't any bikes out at Issaquah, but I know that, Hot Rods and Hogs, so usually there's a few out there at Malpe, and that's pretty cool. You know, speaking of clubs and groups, out in Issaquah, the guys from the DeLorean Club were there.
Oh, right.
And I saw more DeLoreans in one spot than I think I've seen, forever. There was probably 10 of them, and one guy had they're all silver, what it is. But one guy had the DeLorean, and then he had a trailer that was made out of the front end of another DeLorean.
Oh, wow.
Like, you broke one just so you could make a trailer? As well, it was a crash, so he saved it.
Yeah.
But also, the Fiero Club was out there, and there's a ton of those guys.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, if you do customs and stuff, the Fiero for a long time was used as a basis for kit cars.
Oh, yes.
There's a ton of kits built on Fieros.
Yep.
And Miatas, for that matter, too. But, the Fiero guys were out there. And then there were a couple of really radical customs. There's one that they called the Kraut Wagon, which is basically, it's a tea bucket, except for a roof. It's got a German helmet,
Yes. Oh,
big,
wow.
Giant, all metal flake and everything. It, really radical. Looks like an Ed Roth kind of a car.
Yeah.
Because didn't he do a Kraut Wagon? It was probably a replica.
Have.
Because I remember it had the iron cross on the back for the window, and it had the spike at the top.
Yep.
And I think it was purple of all things.
This one was green, but it could have been a replica. I mean, obviously, I think
Hot Wheels even made one of their Hot Wheels
could
out for
be.
That.
Could be. Yeah.
They do.
Well, speaking of very unique cars and something we don't see around here because we don't live here, but that's in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was an interesting segment. Yes, we do live here.
We live here.
But we don't live in Australia.
No.
And
no.
I don't know if you know anything about it, but they had their muscle car wars back in the 70s as well. And one of the muscle cars was a Ford Falcon GTHO Phase 3.
Right.
And it just went across the auction block at $1.3 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those and the Holdens.
Yeah,
yep, the Holdens. Well,
a big draw there.
It came out of the box in 1971, offered a 351 V8 Cleveland with 400 horsepower, pulling around 3,000 pounds or less than 3,000 pounds. It set the quarter mile at 14 or slightly below and top speed of 140 miles per hour.
For that year of a car.
Yes.
And those sorts of speeds kept the Phase 3 in the winner's circle over the next 3 years to win the Bathurst in 1971, and Alan Moffat at the wheel wins the Australian Manufacturers Championship 71 and 72 and Touring Car Championship 72 and 73.
Not bad. So how many? A million? What?
A million. And here's a little picture.
Now, is that dollars? Australian dollars or dollars?
Million Aussie.
Aussie dollars. I don't know what the exchange is.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's just a cute little... car. And I was over there. I spent 3 months traveling around, and you had the Holdens and you had these, and I'm like, those are really cool cars.
Yeah.
And when you watch Mad Max, he's got a Holden.
Sure. The last of the V8 in the
Yes. And they had like these little, they were like a Holden panel truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they run around with six cylinders.
Sedan
no
delivery.
Eight over there.
Yep.
Was it sedan delivery, panel delivery? One of the two.
Panel's tall. It was a panel, but it was lower down.
Yeah, different from the Utes, though.
Yeah.
The Utes.
Yeah. And then another one that I came across, which is just really cool, touches my heart, and that's a 69 Concourse Estate four-door station wagon, Chevy, basically a Chevelle station wagon.
Right.
Professionally restored, back to better than roll-off condition. It's all gussied up, and it's back in Naperville, Illinois. How much do you think they're asking for it?
Does it have vinyl interior or leather?
Nope, but it's got a very nice frame-off restoration.
It looks really nice.
It's probably about 36.
You think?
No, 14,000.
Wow.
That's a pretty good price.
It is.
Let me see that picture.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
If I had the, if I had
two tone, I like that.
If I had Bill Gates' money,
it's almost like Sam.
Yeah.
Or even anywhere coming close to some of these guys, and had a big shop, I'd have
very
the 68
nice.
El Camino, 68 Chevelle SS convertible in station wagon.
14,900. Originally a V8. That's pretty cool. It's got a 12-bolt rear end.
Yeah. So you can push it
nice.
A little bit. Now, what kind of rear end do you have in the car you're driving over here tonight?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually. I'm imagining it's probably a 12-volt. It's got a rock crusher in it. And a 327.
Shane's
got a real nice 57 Bel Air convertible.
Yes, get to drive for a little while.
Yeah.
327 with dual quads.
Yep.
Kicking out some horsepower. Wind that puppy up pretty good.
Dual
is that
Rochester's.
A four-speed or is it? Yeah, it's a four-speed.
It's got to be a four.
Oh, that's nice.
Sure.
Four-speed rock crusher.
Of course.
Friend in high school, Rick Willen, had a 56 Chevrolet root beer brown. I think he had a 327 originally, blew that thing up. Then he put something else in it. He ended up blowing up a, I think it was a Boss.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I had a 56.
72.
I had a Bel Air.
His dad ran a auto parts and machine shop down in Ferndale. For all I know, maybe he's still doing it. I'm going to see him in about a month. At our 40th reunion, so I'll talk to old Rick and see what he's doing, if he's still into cars.
Yeah.
If he is, he should be listening to the show.
If you were once, you're always
once
are.
Into cars, yeah, no kidding. There's no getting out of it.
No, there's not.
Don't get out of it alive.
Stay right here for more Horsepower Chrome Rust after these messages.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz drag.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismel, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show. And this week we are talking with one of the guys responsible for a first ever Rat Rod event that took place over Father's Day weekend. The Rat Rod 500 was the brainchild of Kevin Martin and Rat Ship Crazy Rat Rods in Eastern Washington and hosted by Sean Barter in Prineville, Oregon. We have Sean on the phone today. And before we get to Sean, I just want to say, one of these days I'm going to expect Brady to whip out his harmonica and play right along with that last song.
I can do it anytime you want. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing excellent, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, welcome.
Super, just super. Hey, so this was quite an event. It made a lot of noise on Facebook, and there were quite a few people following it. I know you and Kevin were involved, and there's a few other people as well. Tell us how the thing got started.
Well, a lot like Kevin was saying, we're, you know, rat rod builders that wanted to drive, met at different car shows. And of course, Prineville, Oregon, a lot of people haven't heard a lot of Prineville, Oregon. Bend, say for sure. And we wanted to get something going. And Kevin got a hold of me, and I didn't know him, but just a little bit at the time. And he said, hey, we want to come down to Bend area. We want to do a Rat Rod 500. What do you think you can do? Do you think you can put something together? And sure, let's put something together. And we've got some, in the Northwest here, we've got some ridiculously curvy backcountry roads.
Oh, no doubt.
Several, say, Porsche clubs and Corvette clubs.
Right.
It's a pretty famous run because the curves are insane.
Yeah, beautiful highways down there, no doubt.
Gorgeous highways.
If I remember right, having gone to Bend from Washington, you go around the mountain. You go around the bend, and then you head to it, and that's beautiful country down there.
So how'd the whole thing come together after that? Did you and Kevin plot evil and make it come out, or was there more to it than just that?
A little bit of that, yes. Kevin had talked about it, and he's been familiar with Bend area, and he has some friends in Bend, and Prineville's just a little bit of an out-of-the-way stop outside of Bend, you know, 20, 30 miles, but a little more towards country roads, a little more towards the high desert, pine tree kind of environment if you do the entire poker run. And he had just asked me, he's like, well, hey, Sean, let's put together something. What do you think you can do? And the poker run in the middle of the Rat Rod 500 became its own animal. Alive, we've got a lot of, you know, hot rodders, motorcyclists, and then rat rodders just all over that couldn't make it, say, on the Rat Rod 500 run. So I had turned the Rusty Nuts poker run into its own monster, as it were. And
right.
And then Kevin had suggested, well, let's do a local charity. And Band of Brothers, you know, they're nationwide, man,
sure,
brothers.
Yeah. Sure.
Just their fingers are in the community. Toys for Tots, Food in the Needy on Thanksgiving. So we've raised, just with a band of hoodlums, rat rodders, the numbers are still coming in because of the beer that was donated, but we're well over $4,000 right now.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
Thank you, and that's going right to Band of Brothers. Just like I said, we were just a bunch of hoodlums just having fun and thought we'd leave a mark in our local community, but leave a mark in a good way.
Yeah, that's absolutely terrific. And of course, you got a good start now. If you make it an annual event,
yeah,
you got a mark to shoot for next time. So, how many, do you have any idea how many guys
just ask.
How many guys showed up? I mean, how many cars, how many motorcycles? Have you got to count?
It's hard to count because we had so many people coming in at the last minute. We had so many people that just, locals that came in for breakfast. That a local friend of mine has got a late or early 80s Corvette that hasn't driven the thing in 2 or 3 years and showed up and for breakfast and said, oh, my gosh, his wife came back and said, get that thing out of here. We're going. And they caught us like 50 miles into the run, literally 50 miles, blowing blue smoke, a bad gas, and they were in. I want to say we're up to 100 vehicles.
That's
total
great.
Between rat rods, hot rods, true vintage cars, Harley guys. I actually work with a guy that overheard me talk about this poker run for the last 8 months. I've been planning it.
That's pretty
cool.
And
his wife heard about it and went and bought him a motorcycle so he could go on this event.
I like her. Okay, let me talk to her because I think that's that's pretty awesome. And let me get this straight: you guys went out on the poker run with a bunch of rat rods and Harleys, and it took a Corvette 50 miles to catch you. Is that what I'm hearing?
It did. And we're ridiculously fast. And Kevin and I have talked about that forever. You know, most people try to do the magic number of build a rat rod under $3,000.
Oh, sure.
I drive a 1952 Dodge Korean War truck. This thing has actually been to Korean back in the military. And I got the truck free. I hand-built the chassis, threw a big block in it, and somebody dared me that I couldn't do turbos on it. So now it's a twin-turbo big block flat rod.
Of course it is. And why wouldn't you do that?
Why not? You know, that was one of those trophies that we actually gave out that said, hold my beer, watch this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that should be a recurring trophy. The annual Hold My Beer and Watch This trophy.
Yes.
That's great.
And it just went crazy. And it's just good people. And even came out to our breakfast. We had a local steakhouse here. And I'm no kidding, guys. Five-star steakhouse. Barney Prine Steakhouse here in Prineville. And they don't do breakfast on a Friday by no means. They're not even open till after lunch. And they threw down a five-star event. They loved it. They loved the group. We went through some very, very ghost town style classic towns.
Nice.
Fossil, Oregon, Mitchell, Oregon. And I just got a text back earlier today from my contact in Fossil at the Corner Cafe. And this lady gave me a giant and capital letters said, kudos. I have not met a more patient, courteous group of people in very many, many years.
That's
awesome.
Are so welcome to come back.
That is super.
You know, I love what you're doing, and if I was the planning commission of any little teeny town in the middle of nowhere, the first thing I would do is go out, join up, get all the rat rod, hot rodders, customizers, muscle cars, car enthusiasts, have them come into a meeting and say, you start doing this kind of stuff. Run through our county. Do whatever. And what you're doing is you're bringing people in from all over the place. They spent money that weekend. They did a lot of fun things. And now they're going, I think I want to go back and maybe do a vacation or something. So what you did is you did not only raise money for a great cause, not only did you have a great camaraderie for the first time, but you brought people to an area that they may not have come to otherwise. And I think what you're doing is great. I think this is something that maybe I'll take this interview and send it off to a bunch of little townships. But good on you, Sean. This is awesome.
Now, Sean,
thank you. And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you and Kevin certainly were, you know, two of the guys. You said there were some other people involved. Let's give them some love too.
Yeah.
Who else was involved in putting this thing together?
Both basically our you know, Rat Richardson, Gary Estes, our main group, Brian and Reagan. The basic group of guys, and then the big kudos are the sponsors. I couldn't believe it. And we in my little town of Prineville, and I started telling people, you know, I'm fairly known around here for my rat rod. And being a small town, there's not a lot of rat rods running around here.
Sure.
So they fairly know me, but I've got restaurants, breweries, Cricket River Brewing, Sons of Beer, Growler Fill Station, and Tigertown Brewery in Mitchell, and it's Wild Rye Brewery in Redmond. So many people opened up their doors and said, we want to sponsor. What do we got to do?
Absolutely.
And people are cutting me checks for sponsorship out of the blue. I just the way this thing evolved into such a monster, and I had the local grocery store giving me a check. All the breweries here giving me a check. I had restaurants. I had managers of restaurants giving me a check of their own money when I said, well, I'm raising money for Band of Brothers, you know, just a bunch of hoodlum hot rodders. And they just laughed at me and just said, okay, well, whatever, Sean, what do we got to do?
And you know, that's tremendous.
We had shirts. We had magnetic dash plaques.
Right, right. Got to have those.
So much stuff. So we took the sponsor money and invested into the shirts.
Sure.
Sold the shirts, and now we've taken the sponsor's money and doubled the sponsor money with the shirt, magnet, and 100% free event. So if you even just showed up to our party, as it were, you got like a dash plaque, the old school magnet dash plaque.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And or fridge magnet, you know, whatever you wanted to run with it. And then by selling the shirts and then doing the poker run, the sponsor money, I was actually able to fully double that money and
That's
then
excellent.
Give back to the Band of Brothers.
That's tremendous. And, you know, I've been looking at Facebook, Kevin's page, and the Ratship Crazy Guys. All of that has been just blown up with, you know, results and feedback from the event and everything. And they're already talking about a Rat Rod 600. Now, if you have this successful of an event, the first time around, you definitely want to do it again if you can. I gather that that's the situation. But, you know, more than that, if people are out there listening to this thing and they're saying, gee, you know, we're thinking about doing an event, maybe, but we're not exactly sure, I don't think you could ask for a better blueprint for how to do it than just keeping track of what's going on for this thing, you know, on the Facebook pages. It's truly, you know, amazing. I think you guys did a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And we're actually thinking about breaking it down. We're going to take the Rat Rod 500 because the Poker Run initially became such its own monster that we're so far preliminary, and we'll keep everybody posted, and we want everybody to come to everything, but we're thinking about doing the Rat Rod 600-mile run out of Kevin's hometown this time.
Okay.
So take off out of Spokane,
right.
Northern Idaho, Montana, do a big circle with an overnight stay, mostly thinking Montana, but with the way the Poker Run and the amount of feedback that we got back from the little town of Prineville.
Sure.
We're thinking of doing like a Rat Rod Poker Run as a whole. The communities that and the businesses that have tapped on and came on as a sponsorship with whatever fundraiser we were thinking of doing for future.
Sure.
That we're thinking about making this its own entity and just an annual poker run in Central Oregon, because we're able to do we're able to do are so off the path. They are not your highway roads. We're not going to have, you know, your workaday guy
right.
that's trying to make a living in a truck and we're going to get in his way. We don't have that. We do backcountry roads, the curviest, nastiest.
The kind that I go when I'm doing my road trips with my family. That's exactly the kind of thing we do.
Well, I'll tell you something. I know that Kevin was talking a little bit on Facebook and I was sharing with him about the next year's run and talking about Montana. I've got property just outside Thompson Falls, Montana, and there's a house there with a whole lot of really good parking. So it's something to consider as you begin your planning stages. It'd be real nice to have some guys sitting up there and maybe a shoot a deer for breakfast. You never know.
That sounds like a perfect event. And our, what we call the original, the OG, the original gang, the six of us that started the Rat Shit Crazy Rat Rods. And like we started here, we had breakfast, my wife and I, and she kept giving me a hard time that this is our one and only event because this event has just involved the last 8 months of my life.
Yeah,
well, that's
and,
tremendous.
She said, oh, this is it. And then it went off with such a massive hit that I had hugs and from people that I've never met in my life showed up to Prineville. And that was kind of a joke when we were throwing out some really customized trophies.
That's great.
Was the joke was, so when did you actually wake up and say, you know what, I'm gonna drive my rat rod to Prineville, Oregon? When did that ever become a conversation?
No kidding. Well, listen, Sean, I'll tell you what, we're getting down towards the end, and I want to make sure that people know you can find out, you know, what happened with this year's event if you just go to the Ratship Crazy Rat Rod's Facebook page. We're also putting it up on the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page, so there'll be things there. And as you guys get, you know, deeper into your planning, please copy us on what you do. Let us know what's happening, and we'll put up the events calendar and everything for next year's run, and you know, maybe we can come and join you.
Absolutely. We would love to have it. We could make this bigger and better than ever.
All right. Well, Sean Barter from Prineville, Oregon, thank you a whole bunch for talking with us today, and way to go on the Rat Rod 500. You and Kevin did good.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
You bet. Right. We'll be in touch. Thank you. Good night.
That was great. You know, what a super event.
Oh,
to be
I
able
think
to
it's
do
wonderful.
Like that. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
absolutely marvelous.
It makes me think we're going to do a Horsepower Chrome and Rust event, something like this here soon. So you're listening to the best automotive information show in the known world, Horsepower Chrome and Rust. A great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next with our very best and honorary Brady Wright.
I am honorary. It's true.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 15, 14, 41, 31, 13. We took a left on Carroll Street.
Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade 24-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Olderden Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismel, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrunner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Well, you find yourself here at the fourth segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential. And Brady's going to share a story with us this week.
Yes, I am. Brady? Kitties gather together around the high five as we share the story called
Grab your blankets and pillows.
For tradition. Don't spill the Cheerios. Okay. This is
That's supposed to be the fire.
Not
That's a
like.
Disgusting sounding fire. I don't know what you're burning over there. I don't think I want to know. This one's by Tom Glide, and it is called Respect for Tradition, and it goes like this. Take me to any car show, and I will naturally gravitate to the traditional cars. They're the cars built using parts and modifications that honor the early days of hot rodding. I think they've got a lot of soul and character, which is why I gravitated to the black primered and customized 1949 Ford Coupe at the 2010 Maritime Festival car show in Harbor Beach, Michigan. Having done work similar to what had been done to this car, I could see and appreciate all that had gone into it, much more than the average person might. I took 2 trips around the car, admiring the work, knowing the countless hours and dollars it took to make the modifications. They were all done correctly, very detailed, in a time-honored fashion. This was the real thing. The primered finish, which might look unfinished to some, was even a tribute to the old days when builders often couldn't afford paint right away once the custom work was done. Is this your car? I asked the tattooed, well-traveled-looking man with the long silver-haired ponytail and ZZ Top-style beard sitting at a picnic table behind it. Yes, he said. Nice car, I said, and he thanked me and showed my lady friend and I pictures of the small fleet of similar cars he had back home. I joked with him about how tough it must be to decide which car to drive. I mean, wouldn't you love to be in that position? Yeah. We were having a nice conversation when he suddenly stopped talking. He stood up and peered over his dark glasses toward the front of his car. Lady, he shouted at the middle-aged woman leaning her full weight on the front fender of his car, laughing and talking to some other people. "Hey, lady," he repeated much louder, startling her from her conversation, causing her and everyone within earshot to direct their attention to him. She gave him a look of contempt, staring at his tattoos, his long hair, cigar clamped in the side of his mouth. "I ain't done painting that yet. Appreciate it if you didn't sit on it," he told her. She gasped. "Those are 100% cotton," she huffed, tapping the seat of her pants and returning to leaning against the car. It wasn't the cotton he was concerned about at this point. It was her considerable weight that she was applying to a very old fender with countless hours of work done to it, not to mention the very easy-to-scuff primer finish. He says, "Yeah, well, I still don't want you sitting on my car," he replied. "I wouldn't have either if it had been my car," and she'd been the same request, verbatim. She gasped again. "Don't sit on your car," she shrieked. "Fine, here's what I think of your car." She stood up and slammed her butt into his fender. The car bounced, coming back up and tapping her in the behind. She then wiped the back of her pants down half the length of the fender. "Oh, that ain't right," the owner said. She took a digital camera from her purse and began to take pictures of the car and the owner. "Don't sit on this car," she screamed, snapping more pictures. "I work for the newspaper. I'll show you. I'll be danged. This is going in the paper. Don't sit." Oh, why? She was babbling incomplete sentences, snapping pictures as she was like she was Federico Fellini. The gentleman that she was with was giving an amen to each one of her sound bites, confirming that she was, in fact, employed in some manner by an undisclosed newspaper. The car owner was in big trouble now. Well, I won't tell you the expletive the car owner gave her. Let's just say that when they parted ways, it wasn't on the best of terms. I felt kind of bad for the car owner, mostly because I knew the amount of work that he'd invested in the car. Her big rear end did leave scuff marks in the fragile primered surface, too. I don't know why, but I felt compelled to talk to her about it. I knew she didn't understand the amount of work that went into the car, and I hoped that I could put it in terms she could understand, maybe give her a hypothetical situation of someone showing little regard for something she put a lot of effort into, like maybe a well-tended flower garden or something else trampled through. How would she feel? I even thought of asking if he were a clean-shaven and tattoo-free like me, would she have reacted the same way? I hoped to get her to go back and look at the damage that she'd done. I saw her a while later, and I approached her. "Ma'am, I'm not condoning his language or his approach," I said, "but you have to realize the amount of work that..." "I know how much work goes into these," she interrupted. She leaned against a beautiful red Corvette and began to preach. "It was how he tried to humiliate me in front of, what, 40 people? Unbelievable." But ma'am, I..." "No, I will not put up with this," she shouted, pounding the front fender of the gleaming red Corvette.
"Oh, no."
He could have asked nicely, "Ma'am, could you please move away? Please don't touch." But no, "This is going in the paper," she shouted, and continued to hammer on the shiny Corvette she was using for a pulpit. It was becoming more and more apparent that she hadn't seen the entry signs on every car that, along with the car and owner information, read, "Look, reminisce and admire, but please don't touch," in bold 3-inch high letters. "Ma'am, as someone familiar with this sort of work, I'm just saying..." I tried once more to figure a way to stop her from assaulting the vet before she cracked it. "I'm tired of these damn tourists. You know he's the second one that's yelled at me for doing that." No kidding, I thought to myself. "I will not be talked down to in my own town. If these tourists don't like it, they can go back to the city where they belong," she said, pointing to the owner of the 49 Ford. Had she read the sign in his car window, she would have known he was from the town right next to her city. Now, she made me angry. I have very little respect for those with that sort of backward, clannish kind of thinking. It's way up there on my list of things I won't tolerate, so I walked away from her knowing I wasn't going to get a word in edgewise. My lady friend said, "You should have saved your breath. She just doesn't get it." I agreed. She not only didn't appreciate the amount of work in the cars, but the amount of dollars brought into the area by the tourists she holds in so much contempt. The car owner was part of a club that brought 4 cars to the show, all paying the entry fee. They all spent the day in town. I'm sure they and their families patronized at least 1 or 2 businesses and restaurants. I hope they all had a great time. I hope they left with some good memories of Harbor Beach to offset the bad one. As a resident, I went back and apologized to the car owner and expressed hope to see him again and talk cars at another show, hopefully maybe in Harbor Beach someday. My advice to the lady from Harbor Beach would be to show a little respect for people and their property, and they'll do the same. Also, if she happens to go to another car show this summer, I hope she looks, reminisces, and admires. But just like the sign says, please don't touch. Especially if it's a blue 42 Pontiac, I might not be so kind. And you know, I cannot tell you how many times I've been at car shows and had people, you know, I've seen people literally kind of walking up and fingering somebody's car. And you just don't do it.
No.
It's
no.
like that old joke
That's a
about.
No-no.
Yeah, it's, just, it's like that old joke
well,
about motorcycles.
Well, I tapped on
motorcycles.
Somebody's car, but we were talking. I go, they don't make metal like that anymore. And they go, no. And
but if
we
the
were
guy's
talking,
standing right there watching you do it,
yeah,
that's
and I didn't
something
go,
different.
Bam, bam. I just tapped on it. I says, listen to that. Yeah. That's such good quality metal. You don't make that anymore. And we were just reminiscing about
it's
that.
It's like the old joke of not sitting on somebody else's Harley. You
yes.
know, you just don't do
Well, you
it.
Don't sit on anybody's motorcycle, period, because
well,
it's
no,
not your...
But you also don't sit on somebody's car.
No, you don't.
It's just not a thing. It's funny, you know, there's so many stories in the old Car Nut book, and, you know, they're about good experiences, bad experiences, memories, and weird stuff. And there's three books in the series. It is the old Car Nut book. David Dickinson is the compiler. And, as always, you can get them on theoldcarnutbook.com or Evancourt Press, or you can buy them through Amazon, and they do make a really great gift every single week.
Yes, they do.
Well, I mean, it's funny because we all were around cars this last weekend, and
I didn't sit on any.
I didn't
you
sit did,
well,
on any of
you.
Them.
Yeah. Good for you.
I didn't
nice
brush
restraint.
Up on any of them.
No,
I
no.
Talked to a lot of guys and gals with their cars.
Yeah,
and
there's a few I wanted to drive though.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What's that?
There was a few I wanted to drive.
Oh yes,
I wanted to drive the 1949 Packard that was out in Issaquah.
Oh, yeah.
Mint. Oh man, I wanted to sit in that car, but no.
Well, and cars are like the people who have them.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a story behind why they got it.
That is true.
Exactly. Well, stay right here. We'll be back with this week's trivia question and more horsepower from the rest.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of Sea.
Hang on till right after these messages.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. The law offices of Ambulance and Chaser are making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
I love the bass line on this thing. Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel, the events, rallies, and club scenes and stuff that we've talked about so far were just some of the things that happen in car show season here in the Northwest. There's something. There's at least two or three events every weekend from until October, and there's just no stopping it. It's amazing. You know what's coming up that I actually want to go and see? And we keep talking about things that happen in Issaquah, but there's one coming up on the 20. Is it the 24th? Hang on one second.
The 23rd? 24th.
No, it's the 24th at the XXX Root Beer Drive-In in Issaquah, the Cadillac, LaSalle, and Lincoln show.
Ooh.
That'd be
just them. Mm-hmm. Would that not be cool? I mean, there's some cars in the LaSalle and Cadillac. I wouldn't be surprised if there'd be some Cords out there, too. Same, you know, family that's going to be pretty cool. That's on the 24th. And then, of course, you got to be prepared coming up on the 30th.
Yep, two weeks away.
It's the Greenwood. The Greenwood Car Show, that is the big one. There's 850 cars plus, and it's going to be just a classic, no doubt.
It's supposed to be gorgeous weather.
Well, I came across one. It's called the 5th Annual Dream Builders Car Show.
Oh, yeah.
Benefiting Big Brothers and Sisters of Snohomish County, and it's going to be at the Evergreen Speedway in 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and there's a bit of a...
On which day?
This is July 1st.
Oh, very nice.
Sunday,
okay.
July 1st, Evergreen
Super.
Speedway.
Yes, super. It's an indoor show.
Dream Builders
nice.
Car Show. So
nice.
So anyway, you know, well, you better get to the trivia. I was going to have a comment about one of the guys I met at the show and what he did, what he decided he won't do the next time around.
Oh, okay. Well, this one's easy. Last week's trivia contest or question was about antifreeze, and the question was, when was all-weather antifreeze plus coolant introduced in cars as kind of a standard thing? Because people, you know, put coolant in there, but all-weather antifreeze was the key, and the year was 1960.
Oh.
Must not have been all that interesting
no.
of a question, because we didn't have a winner, but that's okay, because we'll double up on the barn dust for next week.
You get two buckets.
Two buckets of barn dust.
One for yours and your spouse's car.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, the new chrome-plated buckets, they look really
they
cool.
They do.
It's magic.
Gotta post those.
Yeah. So, everybody, well, I'm trying to think of how to say this. All right, here we go. In 1953 was the year that Chevy introduced the Corvette. That was the first year. Now, there was a pre-year sort of concept car that came out, and they're very, very rare, but they're there. The question is not what year, because we all know. And we know that it was the Corvette, and we know that it was Chevy. The question is, who designed it? Who was the responsible guy for the Corvette? A car that is still
cool.
made today and is an icon in every sense of the word. If you know, get with us on Facebook, get to us at contact us at Horsecrow or Chrome and Rust, or find me at some event and tell me the answer like Gary Woodburn did last week. Either way, you too can win your very own double bucket of barn dust for any car that you feel like dumping it on, and we'll have the answer to that one next week.
Well, I met up with a guy that had just completely redid his '66 SS Chevelle.
Oh, nice.
396, all that. And he said, you know, I can't go to a lot of shows because I got to drive the back streets. And he was talking to a gentleman, and we were chatting. I says,
the back
well, why is that?
Yeah.
He says, I put 410s in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
So he can only...
And a 396 and 410s do not go well together at all.
He can go 85 miles
an hour. He can go 65 miles an hour tops.
Really quickly, but...
He needs to get a adapter for his transmission to be able to kick it into overdrive.
Yep.
But I didn't think about that. That's why my gearing in my El Camino is so high. Is because not high, low.
Low.
3.7 or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to cruise
long
at 80 miles an hour. That's right.
As opposed to block or light to light.
Yep.
Yeah.
Light
yeah.
to light, though.
Yeah, well, that's what 411 gears are all about, you know? Hey, that music's our cue to hit the gas until next week in our 410s. Be sure to like and follow our website and our Facebook page. And check the archive out for our shows at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. You slide on by next week, broad slide on by next week, for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See you then. Bye now.